We want our house to be his home, for Jesus to be at home in us. And so I want to preach once more about that. Psalm 84. Let's read verse 5. I believe this will be the New King James Version. And it says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you." Our strength is in the Lord. Amen. And then look at this. "Whose heart is set." Whose heart is set on pilgrimage. That's a strange way for us to connect with what God is saying. My heart is set on something. It's set on my journey, where I'm going. So I want to preach to you today, home is where the heart is. Home is where the heart is. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now. God, right now. Give our hearts completely to you. We love you and thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. I wonder if you have the Holy Ghost, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you could just intercede and pray this prayer specifically. Lord, let everybody receive what you have for them today. Just pray that prayer just for a moment here. Let every person receive what you have for them today, and then pray in Jesus' name. God, for me, for my family, but for our church family and our guests, let everybody receive. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. I have really benefited from this series about the home, and I kind of feel bad that it's ending today. I was looking forward to preaching Home Sweet Home, but I don't think I'll get to that this time around. I was really excited to preach Build Me a Home Where the Buffalo Roam, but that's not going to happen either. I was going to preach Home Free or Down Home or maybe Till the Cows Come Home. There's just a whole lot of messages I was hoping for the Lord to give me. In fact, I was ready to preach next Sunday, A Woman's Place, is it? No. Oh, see that? Some of y'all. Now you're paying attention. See, just like that. But if there was one more message, and I don't feel the liberty to go there next Sunday, but I really wanted to preach to somebody, I can't point out, but the lights are on, but nobody's on. Well, I can't preach that. But I do feel like we have been hearing from God, because I think it is very important that we really consider, those of us that know that God lives in us, that we want our house to be his home. And that's been the goal of all of this preaching, is that it wouldn't just be something we think about at church, but we would get to the place where there's less of a separation between my spiritual life and my everyday life. Because I think that's a dangerous way to live for God, to limit him to Sunday or even to limit him to Heaven View. I think if we live for God that way, we become double-minded. And double-minded people are unstable people. They're in the church, they're out of the church. They love God, and then they're not so sure they need to go to church to show their love for God. And this really hasn't been all about church, because living for God is so much bigger than church. But it does seem like there is a pattern in people that begin to focus all of their spiritual energy on one place, or one time, or once a week. And before you know it, the house where he's supposed to be alive and well is not much of a home. I want my house to be a home away from home for Jesus Christ. I want his presence to be my home away from home wherever I am. In his presence, there still is fullness of joy, and not just at 1410 West Clemensville Road. This is so important because this matter of where Jesus is at home, it is not just a matter of being religious. It's not just a matter of saying I'm a Christian. It's really about a matter of the heart. That home is where the heart is. And wherever my heart is, that is where my home is. That's why it's a big deal if you leave your heart in San Francisco. I don't think anybody's struggling with that today, but I'm just telling you, wherever your heart is, that's where your home is. Some of you that have said or at least thought, I went to such and such a place and I left a piece of my heart there. And I was with such and such a person and I feel like they got a little bit of my heart. And I'm not saying that that's entirely wrong, but I think we should at least recognize that the stakes are super high, because wherever your heart is, that's where your home is. Your home is where your heart is. Some people like to say, put your whole heart into it. At least they used to like to say that. I think the generations have shifted and there's not so much of an urgency to be wholehearted. There is more of a tendency to allow people to be half-hearted and even half other parts of your body I don't want to talk about in this series. But I think there is something to be said about putting your whole heart into living for God. Certainly, I know that my family has my heart, and I know my loved ones have my heart, and my church has my heart, but I want Jesus to have my whole heart, my whole mind, my whole body, my whole strength. I want Jesus to know that I love him with all my heart. Praise God, because loving Jesus is a matter of the heart. And that's right. And in fact, Mark 12, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment, not just in number, but in prominence and preeminence. We must love Jesus with all of our hearts, because home is where your heart is. And so I want to say this, and I think it's important in this context. Loving Jesus with all of your heart is not about following your heart. Loving Jesus with all of your heart is not about following your heart. Loving Jesus with all of your heart is about following Jesus with all of your heart. Because your heart speaks to how you feel, and your heart speaks to that very seed of how you process what is important and what is valuable. And sometimes our hearts can be like a roller coaster. And so loving Jesus is not about following my heart, because my heart can take me all kinds of places. And before you know it, he has my heart, or she has my heart, or this has my heart. And if I follow my heart, who knows where I'll end up? But if I can follow Jesus with all of my heart. Come on, home is where the heart is. And if I put my heart totally into Jesus, that's where I'm going to end up. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17, we read, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know your heart? And then he says this, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. I'm thankful, and we celebrate, and you've heard it said before, well, God looks on the heart. You're absolutely right. But sometimes we forget that as much as that's a blessing, it's also a very strong command that we would be careful to guard our hearts. because our hearts can be filled with all kinds of things that pull us away from really serving God and pleasing God and walking with the Lord. And the Lord tries everybody's heart. He wants to see what we're really thinking and how we're really processing. Can you believe even we can do good things, but our motives be wrong because there's something in our heart? We could say the right words, but really there could be something in our heart that doesn't please the Lord. And so I'm just saying here, the heart is deceitful, and there are things about your heart that are dangerous. So let's pray as the psalmist did today. Psalm 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, because home is where the heart is. Anybody ever pray like I do? Many days, almost daily, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Why? Because wherever my home is, that's where my heart is. And I don't want my heart to be in charge. I want Jesus to be in charge. So Jesus, here's my heart. Oh, in the name of the Lord. The psalmist said in Psalm 37, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. I tell you what, I like it probably as much as anybody, everything we do on Sunday to show our love for the Lord. But it's got to be more than just our worship. We got to get his word in our hearts. I celebrate all of you that worship the Lord from the bottom of your heart. But there at the bottom of your heart, let the word of God be large and in charge, and so your heart is protected from slipping away. Is there anybody that could just take a moment and say, Jesus, guard my heart. Jesus, guard my heart. I don't want to follow my heart away from you, Lord. I want to follow you with all of my heart. Oh, let's clap our hands and thank the Lord for his word. Thank the Lord for his mercy. When we get the word of God in our hearts, it helps us follow the Lord fully. Now, I'm just going to give one example. There's a lot, so if you think one, it shouldn't be too long. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth or destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your treasure does not follow your heart. Your heart follows your treasure. And you say, what do you mean by treasure? I'm not a pirate. Well, but you understand. Just woke somebody up. Is there a pirate? What's going on? But where do you store your valuables? In a spiritual sense, I'm not even talking about the bank. Where do you place your values? Because your heart will follow your treasure. It's not that your treasure follows your heart. If I'm consumed, I've been here and done this. If I'm consumed as a teenage boy with a teenage girl, it doesn't mean that I'm in sin. Now, it can become a sin. But if I'll invest in that little teenage girl as a teenage boy, once I start putting value, once I start placing value, my heart will follow. You say, well, Mom, it was my heart that got me thinking about it. Yeah. But the scripture says it's really not your treasure that follows your heart. It's your heart that follows your treasure. This is so important because think about it. If my heart is pitter-patter for that little somebody, but I don't invest in it, eventually my heart will move on to something else. That's why it's your heart following your treasure, not your treasure following your heart. Your heart might get the whole thing started, but if you don't invest, you're going to find your heart heading somewhere else. Come on, when you stood before her and you said, I do, before God and everybody, right? Your heart may have been in charge, but if you don't invest in that relationship, if you don't put value on that relationship, your heart will start to stray, because your heart will follow where your values are. And so that's why I'm preaching today that we have to be careful that we make sure that we invest our treasure into the kingdom of God. That, dare I say that we invest our treasure into the house of God. Why? Because my heart will follow my treasure. Well, what is my treasure? What is that I value? Well, I would say for sure my time. My time is valuable. I would say for sure my money is valuable. And I'm just telling you, if you will invest your time into the things of God, if you will invest your time into the house of God, if you will invest your time into the kingdom of God, your heart will follow your treasure. If you will invest your money into the things of God, if you will invest your money into the house of God, if you will invest your money into the kingdom of God, your heart will follow your treasure. It's a little secret that the more I invest value into my relationship with God, my heart is going to be more in love, more connected, more committed, because there's something about placing value and treasure and time and money into God. Amen. Come on, I hope my kids know I'm just kidding, but I got too much money in those kids to pretend they're not mine. They're going to be mine until Jesus comes. I mean, they may make mistakes or make decisions that I'm not really happy with, but I'm claiming them because I put too much into them. That would be silly to invest so much and then say, well, that, you know how that would happen if I stop investing. If I stop investing time, if I stop, oh my Lord, sometimes we wonder why our relationship with Jesus seems to be growing cold. It's because you stop investing your time. You're not praying like you used to pray. You're not giving like you used to give. And so now your heart is starting to look other places. Come on, I'm telling you, your heart will follow your treasure, and your home is where your heart is. It's okay to have a great job and be successful, but don't put all your heart in that. It's okay to enjoy wonderful relationships, but don't let any of those relationships get in the place of your relationship with God, because your heart will stray away. How about if we copy the words of Jesus in Matthew 6? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. Let my treasure, let my time, let my money be first and foremost. Surrender to God. Praise God. If you are not bringing your tithes and offerings into the house of God, just try it. Just try it and see if your heart doesn't start to get more connected with what God is doing. Now, I got to tell you, people come and go. We never stop them at the door and say, you bring your tithes? Do you bring your offerings? You can come here till Jesus comes and never do any of that. Some people do that. So this is not trying to force anybody to do anything, but it is trying to tell you, if you want to see your heart ignited for God like it never has been, if you feel like there's been a little bit of a struggle for you to connect with the purpose or plan of God, what you need to do is invest your time, invest your money, invest your treasure, if you will, into the kingdom of God. And where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. If you will do that, you will discover that home is where the heart is. You say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. As soon as we remove our treasure from the kingdom of God, it's not just stored up somewhere, because that's where moth gets at it. That's where it gets corrupted. You know what happens? Whatever is not invested in the kingdom of God ends up in the kingdoms of this world or in the kingdom of self. And none of those kingdom investments are near as rewarding as the kingdom of God. None of those kingdom investments are near as fulfilling where your heart is. Where your heart is. Home is where the heart is. I wonder if you would just raise your hand as if to say, Lord, I want my heart to be invested in the kingdom of God until it's obvious, Lord, that I am drawing closer to you, that there is a greater intimacy and connection. I know we're not screaming or ripping the lights out of the ceiling, but I think this is a very important prayer. I don't want my time and my money and my life to be sucked up by the kingdoms of this world or by the kingdom of self. I don't want my heart, Lord, to die in those kingdoms. I don't want my heart, Lord, to dry up in those kingdoms. Lord, I want my heart to find its home in the kingdom of God. So help me to give myself, to give my time, to give my money, to give my life, to give my family. Lord, I want to give what's first and what's best to you. I want to follow you with all of my heart because home is where my heart is. Amen. So now let's look at Psalm 84. And I think I could kind of fast forward this a little bit because most of you are still awake. But I think this is significant in this discussion. Because a psalmist said, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. And if you look at different translations of the Bible, if you look at different versions of the Bible, they will use different words even than pilgrimage to describe what God is trying to show us. And in all of those descriptions, you still get the context of what I'm going to share with you right now. But it's obvious that there is a blessing for the individual whose heart is set on a pilgrimage. Or as some translations say, whose heart is set on a highway. They even say that it's a highway that points or leads the way to Zion, as those Old Testament people of God would know that if I can get to the temple and offer up my sacrifice, I can gain the blessing of the Lord. And there was even an ascent, so we could see it as a highway as they got closer to Jerusalem and closer to the temple until they finally made it to the steps and they began to climb higher and higher towards the things of God. And they were giving themselves to the journey, but the point was this: the blessing was not allocated to the individual that got so comfortable where they were that they didn't make the journey, that got so satisfied with what they already had from God that they didn't want to go a little bit higher. But the Lord said the real blessing, just leave that verse up there for a while, the real blessing of the Lord was for the man or the woman who set his heart on a pilgrimage. In other words, you look at me now and you might think this is all there is, but hey honey, this is not my final dwelling place. I'm on my way somewhere. I'm on a journey. It's a highway. In fact, I dare say it's leading me higher and higher to the blessing of God and the favor of God. And the blessing was reserved for the individual whose heart was set on the pilgrimage. I won't preach this, but I do want you to see it. Isaiah 35 and 8 speaks of this highway. It says it's going to be a highway, and it's going to be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not stray. Just leave that verse up there for a moment. And so think about it this way. You got these people whose heart is set on a pilgrimage. It's the highway of holiness. But as they're climbing higher, as they're taking steps towards Zion, Other people all around them are considering, should I get on that highway? Should I go the way they're going? But instantly they think, there's no way I'm going to get on that highway, because that's the highway of holiness. You get on that highway, people are going to know you're heading in a different direction. You get on that highway, people are going to know you're not like everybody in the world or everybody at the school or everybody on the job. But this verse says, even if you are a fool, if you made up your mind, I'm staying on that highway and I'm never getting off track. I'm staying on that journey and I'm never going to stop. Even if you are a fool, in other words, even if you don't feel like you're a Bible scholar, even if you feel like with each step forward, there's two steps back, God is promising you, if you will stay on the highway of holiness, if you will stay on your pilgrimage, you may not always have it all figured out. You may not understand everything that's going on, but if you keep moving forward, you're climbing higher. You're climbing higher. You're climbing higher. You're on your way to Zion. You're on your way to the blessing of God. You're on your way to glory. As for me and my house, we're going to stay on the highway. We're going to stay on the pilgrimage. We're going to stay on the journey. Oh, that's a good place to clap your hands and shout unto God. My heart is set on a pilgrimage. Because home is where the heart is. And so these crazy people, these holy rollers, these peculiar generation folks, they used to say it this way as they would move forward, climb higher, fall back, get up again, and keep on their journey. They used to say, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And the angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I just cannot feel at home in this world anymore. That's why the people on that highway don't fit in with the world. That's why the people on that highway don't look like the world. They don't act like the world. They don't, because their heart is not in the world. Their heart is set on a pilgrimage. Their heart is set on a journey. And so they just keep going along. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And so you know what? Even though there's trials, even though there's struggles, as long as their heart is set on the journey, as long as their heart is set on the destination, home is where the heart is. Oh, would you clap your hands and bless the Lord. These pilgrim people are not at all like the village people. No offense to the village people. But village people have a tendency to give their heart to the world around them. I'm not making fun of village people. I'm just making an illustration here, trying to keep you awake. But these pilgrim people, they're not following their heart. How about a little bit of lust? How about out of sin? How about a little worldliness? How about a little bit of materialism? Man, if they followed their heart, they would end up everywhere. But they're not following their heart. They're guarding their heart. Some places I can't go because my heart will get sucked in. Some things I can't do because my heart will get pulled out of my chest. Some people I'm not even sure I can hang around with because they have this ability to manipulate my heart. All I know is that I've got to guard my heart because I'm one of them pilgrim people and this world is not my home. And if I give my heart to this world, that's where I'm going to end up. But you know what I'm going to do? I've got a greater journey. I've got a greater destination. I've got a greater promise. So I'm going to, come on. He put a little bit of heaven in our heart, but now we've got to make sure heaven heaven is in our view. That's why we call it heaven view, because once you've got heaven in your heart, that is not enough. You got to guard your heart and keep everything out of your heart that gets in the way of heaven. But he put just enough of heaven in your heart so you would not be satisfied with this world. That's why you give your heart to sin and it's not enough. That's why you give your heart to drugs and it's not enough. That's why you give your heart to pursuing money and it's not enough. That's why you give your heart to all kinds of junk and it's not enough. And not all of that stuff is sin. But if it has your heart, if you're not guarding your heart, you'll be detoured from this journey. And so the scripture says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Why? Because my heart is set on a journey, and home is where my heart is. You say amen?
Amen.
I refuse to let myself feel at home in this world anymore. Because the junk that is being spewed out in this world. And I don't want you to take my words and manipulate them as though I'm attacking people. I'm not attacking people, because Jesus loves everybody. But all of the ways that this world is promoting, this is how we ought to live. This is how we ought to do. This is where we ought to go. This doesn't matter anymore. And this doesn't matter anymore. All of that just lets me know this world is not my home. I'm not going to criticize. I'm not going to judge. I'm not even going to condemn. But I got to tell you right now, my heart is set on the journey. My heart is not set on debating. My heart is not set on just being grouchy about all the immorality. My heart is set on the journey. You can cuss and fuss and complain and judge all you want, but this world is not my home, so I don't have to spend all my energy fighting this world. All I've got to do is guard my heart. I'm not going to give myself to the world. I'm not going to give myself to worldliness. I'm not going to give myself to carnality. I'm going to guard my heart, and I'm going to keep my heart set on my journey. Amen. Every now and then, my kids are going to hear me say, "Oh Lord, you know, I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what will I do?" What are you talking about? My heart is set on a pilgrimage. Get the nicest house you can get, but don't let your heart have that house. Get the nicest job you can get, but don't let your job have that house. Or don't let your job have your heart. You know what? Have the greatest relationships and friends. Pat them on the back, but guard your heart. Jesus, I want my heart to be on a pilgrimage, because home is where my heart is, and it just don't feel like home here. It just don't feel like home here. Because Hebrews says, as the musicians come, we are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And though that they that say such things declare plainly, Hebrews 11 and 14, that we seek a homeland. In fact, and truly, this is verse 15, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. There is just no home on earth that is going to be home sweet home. And the reality is, if we want to, we can start looking at the world around us, the world we came out of, the world he delivered us from. And if we look long enough, our heart will want to stray back to the leeks and the garlics of Egypt. not talking about Egypt in the Middle East. I'm talking about a spiritual condition where you want to go back to the sin and back to the immorality and back to the worldliness. Or you can be in a church surrounded by people that used to be addicted and used to have all kinds of issues because of sin and all of that mess. And you could be someone that was never exposed, and you could be sitting in church saying, I know that's fine for my mommy and daddy, but when I get old enough, I gotta try it. I gotta try the addictions. I gotta try the immorality. I gotta try doing it my own way. You do that and your heart will be ripped out of your chest. And because you did not guard your heart, you will be like the prodigal son. And you will say, how did I end up here? Because you never set your heart on the journey. You never set your heart on the destination. You started setting your heart on the world around you. And it became home, because home is where your heart is. But all the while, you want to just give it a try. You just want to lick the ice cream, put it back in the... This world's messed up. Yeah, I'm going to be okay. Just let me give it a try. All the while, I hope you remember the Sunday that preacher reminded you, let not your heart be troubled. If you could just keep believing in God and that Jesus is Him, He has prepared a place for you. I don't want to put my own kids on the spot, but I want to say to my kids, your mom and dad will do everything in their power to create a place for you on this earth that is pleasant, that is comfortable, that is blessed. But there is no place that I could create for you on this world, in this planet, that can ever compare to that home that Jesus is preparing for you. So I beg you, set your heart on the journey. Set your heart on the destination. Even though your friends at school will make fun of you, and even though others in the church will say, you don't have to do all that, I beg you to set your heart. Because if your home is here and that's it, that's where your heart's going to end up. But if you set your heart on a pilgrimage, can you say in Jesus' name? And so 84 of Psalm again, as we stand, I just want to read this. The psalmist said, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, it even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Jesus, there's something in my heart that is heavy today, because this world is not my home. Something in my heart that is never satisfied, because I've set my heart on this journey. And look what the psalmist went on to say. Even the sparrow has found the home. And even the swallow has a nest for herself. She can lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. God, I can't figure this out. The birds find a home. The dog has a house. But I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I got a nice house. I got a beautiful family. But I can't feel at home in this world. What's going on, God? And the psalmist understands, because something in your heart is beating for the house of God. If I could just get in the altar, if I could just get in His presence. Why is that heart beating? Because it's in the altar, I get a little taste of heaven. It's in His house, I get a little taste of heaven. And so every time I connect with the presence of God, there's a little bit of stirring in my heart. This world is not my home. If I drift from the house of God, if I drift from the altar, if I drift from the presence of God, my heart will drift from God. But if I can just get a little bit of taste of heaven at Heaven View, my heart will stay on the journey. Some of you precious people resent the church because the church has not stopped where you stopped. Because the church is on a journey. And you wanted to live for God up to a point. You wanted to give your heart up to a point. And even though everybody loves you, you still feel a little bit unsettled. It's because in this house, there is a yearning for heaven. That's why we call it Heaven View. Because we know if we can pray, if we can worship, our hearts will be ignited. And we'll stay. I'm going to stay on this journey. I'm going to stay on this journey. To the degree that the same song that says, again, that's verse 4, verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on a pilgrimage. If you were to read, and I'm not going to read it all because I know you're standing and I don't want to weary you, but if you would crawl down to verse number 10, you would see the sum of the whole matter. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You know why the old timers used to sing, take this whole world, but give me Jesus, because they had such a love for the house of God that it kept their heart ignited for heaven. They had such a love for the church that it kept their hearts on the journey. I'm asking everybody in this building to pray a prayer with me right now that says, Jesus, set my heart on a journey. Jesus, set my heart on a journey. Would you come to the altar and join me in that prayer? Everybody come. Everybody come and say, God, I don't want my heart to stray. I don't want my heart to belong to the world. I want my heart to be headed for